Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah. God is good. Oh, his word is true. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 28 tonight. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would cause it to bring life to us tonight. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Now, some of you might be like, "Now, wait a second, Minister Barry. You're talking about what do we do with the prophetic word. That's what we're going to be discussing tonight. And yet you've got us reading a passage of scripture that most of us refer to as the Christmas story." Hallelujah. How does that all tie together? Well, can I tell you tonight that I was going to preach. I had a different message. In fact, Pastor Daniel and I were talking last night, and he said, "Do you know what you're preaching?" And I said, "Yeah, I have a feeling the Lord's been directing me," and I was going to preach from Numbers chapter 13. If you're familiar with that passage of Scripture, Numbers chapter 13 is when Moses sent the 12 spies into Canaan to spy out the land. Because, see, way back in Exodus, God had given a prophetic word to Abraham. Actually, in Genesis, he'd given a prophetic word to Abraham and said, "Your seed is going to be greater. Your children, your descendants are going to be greater than the sand of the seashore or the stars in the heavens." That was a prophetic word that went forth. And then in Exodus, God was speaking and saying that he'd actually told Abraham that they're going to go through 400 years of captivity. And so Moses came on the scene and delivered them, brought them out of 400 years of captivity. And by the time you get to Numbers chapter 13, another prophetic word goes forth. See, I was going to preach this tonight. This is what I was going to preach tonight, Numbers chapter 13, where the spies went in and 12 spies came back. And they all came back with a report that the land is truly flowing with milk and honey, which God had said. So they were confirming the prophetic word that God had spoken over them. And again, if I was going to preach that tonight, I would tell you some things like when they came back, all 12 of them said, "It's flowing with milk and honey." In fact, look at the grapes that we brought back, because Scripture says that when they came back, it took two men carrying one cluster of grapes from the promised land on a stick in between their shoulders. That's some big grapes. And if I was going to preach that message, I'd talk about the grapes. If I was going to preach the message that I really thought I was going to share from Numbers chapter 13, I'd talk about the difference between the giants that were in the land and the grapes that were in the land. Because a prophetic word went forth, and if I was going to preach that message, I would tell you that that prophetic word went forth telling them that they were going to be able to get the grapes. They were going to be able to get the land of milk and honey. They were going to be able to live in houses that they didn't build. They were going to reap from vineyards that they didn't plant. And oh, by the way, there were giants in the land, but don't worry about the giants in the land. Take the prophetic word that I'd given you and run with it. And if I was going to preach that message tonight like I thought I would, that would be some of the things I would talk about. But today I was here at the church and I was working on that message, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that he spoke to me prior to Jan and I and our family ever coming to Alaska. So, wow, we got here in 98. So he reminded me of something he told me a long time ago, something that he dropped in my spirit, something that he imparted to me. And as I begin to think about that, as I begin to sit there and think, "Holy Spirit, why are you bringing that back to me?" I feel like I can really encourage the people to go for the grapes, to not forget the grapes, to not look at the giants in the land or the giants that might stand in the way of them receiving fulfillment of that prophetic word, but to realize there's precious promises. Holy Spirit, I really feel like I could encourage the people with that, but I feel like you're changing the direction. And the Holy Spirit said, "I am." He said, "I want you to remind the people of the five things that I pointed out to you all that time ago." And it has to do with the fact that God wants to birth his word in us. When we're given a prophetic word, when the Lord uses the prophetic ministry of prophets and the ministry of his word to plant a seed of faith in us, it's because that seed of faith, he wants it to grow and become the birth of his word being activated in us. Because we know what the word says. The word says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by how? The word. So if we want our faith built up, if we want to begin to move in supernatural faith, if we want to begin to see God do things because we're believing and stepping out in faith, it's because of the word that God wants to birth in us. And so that's the title of my message tonight, God's Word Birthed in You. And actually, I'm already to my first point. My first point is this. We have to believe that God wants to birth something in us, that he wants to birth a word in us, his word in us, his faith, our faith to be made stronger because of the birth of that word in us. Because yes, Luke chapter 1 is talking about the birth of the word, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So we know that Jesus was the Word, the spoken Word, all the way back in Genesis, when God looked at everything and he spoke it into existence. And as he spoke it, it was birthed, it came to life, it sprung up, and he said, it is good. It was actually the Word of God, which is Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, that was active in creation. And so if Jesus, the Word made flesh, was active in creation all the way back in Genesis, then Jesus, the Word made flesh, who died on the cross for you and I so that we could be brought back into right relationship with God, and he wants to birth his word in us, then that's because he's wanting to birth something brand new. He's wanting to create in something in us that we didn't even know was in there. He's wanting to have destinies come forth out of us. He's got plans. He's got purposes. We know Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So we know that God has, according to his word, he's got good things that he wants to do in us, that he's a good, good father we sing about. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God wants to birth his word in you so that your faith grows, so that you can begin to allow that word to be active in you, and you can begin to allow that word to produce Christ's likeness in you. But the first thing we got to understand is we have to believe that that's what God wants to do. Let's look at this text just a little bit. Closer here. Let's go back up to Luke 1:26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary," verse 30, "for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Can I tell you tonight, point number one, we have to believe. We have to believe it like never before, that God wants to birth his word in us. And when he comes to us through the prophetic word, when he comes to us through this prophetic word that we have, that we carry around, that we have in our devices, when he speaks to us through his prophetic word, he is saying the same thing to you and I that he said to Mary. "Greetings, highly favored one. You have found favor in God's eyes." We just went through this prophetic conference, and you were in call-out rooms, and you had the prophets who hear from the Lord. And can I tell you, for my own family and for me, there were things spoken in our prophetic word that was given to us that I would stand and testify, would take a lie detector test to tell you that there is absolutely no way that they knew any of the details to what they were speaking life to over us. And I believe many of you here tonight have experienced the same thing when you receive your prophetic word. So when God took the time, because you took the time to position yourself in the right place, when God took the time to speak to you, it's because he declares over you, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. And I have something I want to do in your life. I want to have something I want to do through you. I want to see my word birth through you, because my word brings life. My word causes things to be created that were not. So point number one tonight, believe that God wants to birth something through you, his word in you. Because Mary could have said, I don't know if I believe that. It does say she had to consider what the angel was saying, but she could have said, you know, I just don't see how that's possible. I just don't see that how that's going to happen. But let's look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I don't know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Verse 37. For with God nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. See, Mary came up with the right response. She didn't understand all the details. She didn't know how this thing that had never happened before and will never happen again. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what they put in some of their movies. I don't care what the midichlorians are supposed to do. Okay? If you're a Star Wars fan, you know what I'm talking about. This type of situation had never taken place before. It had been prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, by the prophet Micah. It had been prophesied, but it had never taken place before and will never take place again. So she didn't have the details. And she didn't say, excuse me, can you explain all the biology to me? Can you tell me how all this is going to work? She said, let it be to me according to what you have said. Can I tell you, if we're going to see the word of God birthed in us, if we're going to see the promises of God birthed in us, if we're going to see the plans of God birthed in us, if we're going to see the purpose of God birthed in each and every one of us, we got to have the same attitude that Mary had. We got to understand that first and foremost, it's God's will, it's his plan, it's his desire to do that very thing. And because he's saying it to us, he considers us highly favored. We have found favor in God's eyes. And we simply say, as Mary said, Lord, I don't have to understand it all. I'm not even sure I can comprehend everything you're saying, but what you say, I accept, be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. Number two, the second thing you need to understand whenever we realize that God wants to birth his word in us is we need to trust God with our Joseph. We need to trust God with our Joseph. Look at Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God is with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. See, when we realize that God wants to birth his word in us, male or female tonight, when we realize that there's a purpose and a plan and a specific destiny, because we were created not to take up space, we were created not to just exist, we were created not just to go through life and do the best we can, and then when we get to the end of life, maybe if we've done enough, everything will be okay. We were created, the Bible says of Jeremiah, but it applies to all of us, before you were formed in your mother's womb, Jeremiah chapter 1, I knew you. And planned for you to be a voice to the nations. It's the same, that principle is the same for you and I. Before any of us were ever formed in our mother's womb, and it doesn't matter the circumstances concerning your conception, it matters not to God. He has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a goal and a destiny for you and I to fulfill. And so if we realize that and we begin to believe that and we do like Mary and say, Lord, as your word says, be it unto me, there may be some Josephs in our life that might look at that and go, you know, I don't really understand that. I love you. I care for you. You're my friend. You're my spouse. You're my brother. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my mom, my dad, but I don't really understand what you're saying God's wanting to birth in you, so let's just keep it quiet. Let's just keep it a secret. Let's not make it too big of a deal because, you know, if I don't understand it, I know nobody else is going to understand it. And see, you and I've got to determine if we're going to see this word of God, his plan and his purpose birth through us, if we're going to see that, then we got to trust our Joseph to God. Because he's well able to take care of our Joseph. If they're really supposed to be our Joseph, if they're really supposed to walk through this and walk this out with us, we can trust God that he's going to do whatever it takes to speak to them as well. And the second thing I would tell you is, why don't you try being a Joseph? Why don't you try being a Joseph instead of so quickly dismissing that prophetic word that your significant other, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your spouse, your brother, your sister, that word that they got from the Lord, instead of being so quick to dismiss it and say, well, you know, that was for the conference, but, you know, there's really no way that's going to happen. You know people are going to talk. You know that people are going to, instead of doing that, why don't you say, I'm going to be Joseph. I don't understand it, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to shoulder the load. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be ashamed to walk beside you and see this miracle take place in your life. So point number one, believe that God wants to birth something in us. Point number two, trust your Joseph to God and be a Joseph. Point number three, go back to Luke chapter 1. Point number three, go find your Elizabeth. Go find your Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Verse 43. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. If we're going to see God birth something in our lives, we're going to need to find an Elizabeth. We're going to need to find our Elizabeth. Because see, Joseph could support Mary in certain ways. Joseph could be there. He could make sure that she had food on the table. He could make sure that the lights were turned on, that the electric bill was paid. He could make sure that he did the work in the work wood shop to sell so they'd have supplies and all the stuff they needed. But Joseph was never going to fully understand what Mary was going to go through. Because see, if you understand the culture of that day, to be a betrothed young lady and to now suddenly be found to be pregnant, because you can try to hide it all you want, but all you ladies in here know, I do not speak from experience other than the birth of my own children that I witnessed. But you can try to hide it, but it's going to show. And Joseph might be to be able to do the very best he could to protect Mary, but he wasn't going to know what the back pains firsthand were going to be like. He wasn't going to know what the ridicule that Mary might face, the rumors that were going to go around, what Sister Bucketmouth was going to say about this, calling this thing from the Lord. And who does she think she is? Who does she think she is to think that God would do anything? She lives in Nazareth. I love what Pastor Bruno preached on when he preached on Kabul and that area of that Galilean area, which was where Nazareth was, that nothing good was going to come out of Nazareth. So she actually needed to get away from the familiar and go stay with somebody who was going to say, sweetheart, I understand, because guess what? I'm in the same condition as you are. I've had the same back pains you're going to have. I've had the same swelling ankles. Am I doing it? Am I describing it okay, sweetheart? The same swelling ankles that you're going to have. That morning sickness that lasts all day, that lasts 9 months for some. Everything that you're going through, I'm experiencing firsthand. And you know what? We're not going to worry about what all those other people say. We're not going to worry. We're not going to listen. We're not going to get on Facebook. We're not going to put any pictures on Instagram. We're not going to put it on whatever else there is out there. I forget right now. We're not going to do all that because you know what? Blessed are you because you have believed what the Lord has said. And I see it, and guess what? So does what he's birthing in me. What he's birthing in me bears witness with what's being birthed in you. What's being birthed in me is bearing witness to what's being birthed in you. If you're going to see the word of God birthed in you, his word birthed in you, his promise birthed in you, believe that God wants to do that. Trust God with your Joseph, and if you're a Joseph, be the best one you can. Go find your Elizabeth. And then I would say the same thing, be an Elizabeth to somebody else. Be an Elizabeth to somebody else. You've walked that road. Now, John wasn't born yet, but Elizabeth was farther along than Mary was. And if anybody could understand what Mary was facing, and if anybody could provide the right words of encouragement and the right words of comfort and that shoulder to cry on when it just didn't seem like, what's going on? It was somebody who had been walking that same road. Be that for somebody else. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will direct you. Nothing is in the Bible by accident. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a reason. Why do you think the angel told Mary what was going on with Elizabeth? Why do you think when the angel was delivering this message to Mary that this amazing miracle thing is going to happen in you? And by the way, just as a side note, no. He was doing that to set things in motion that Mary would know where she could go to find the comfort, the encouragement, the support that nobody else would even, not even Joseph, would be able to give her. Is this making sense tonight? Number four, be willing to carry the promise full term. Be willing to carry the promise full term. Luke chapter 2. Verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Be willing to carry that prophetic word that was spoken over you. Be willing to carry it full term until your faith becomes sight. Oh, but you don't understand, Minister Barry, that prophetic word that that prophet Fang, that word he gave me, I mean, it was powerful and it was right on and it was dead on. But if that really gets fulfilled in my life, man, I just don't see how it's going to happen. I'm telling you, don't entertain those thoughts because I've seen it too many times. A prophetic word, a promise, a commitment to carry what God wants to birth in someone at the altar. By the time they get to the parking lot, it's been aborted. And the word of God tonight for each and every one of us is be willing to carry it full term. Backache and all, swollen ankles and all, nausea and upset stomach and all. Be willing to carry it full term. Because if God promised it to you, if God spoke it to you, if he declared it and it lines up, because again, don't ever forget the prophetic word is not going to go contrary to his written word. His written word is established forever. Your word is established in forever, O Lord, the word says. So the prophetic word is not going to go contrary to his word. It's going to be confirmed by his word. It's going to line up by his word. But if the Lord took the time to give you that prophetic word, then it's a beautiful destiny. The Bible says in Ephesians, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor is that entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And Paul wasn't just talking about heaven. He was talking about this life that Jesus said, he came to give, the life and life more abundantly. And so if God wants to birth something, if he takes the time to visit you, whether through his reading his written word or through the voice of a prophet or the voice of the Holy Spirit, he takes the time to visit you and to speak to you and to declare to you, you are highly favored and I want to do this thing in you. Will you be willing to say yes? And then you get the support. Don't quit before the term is full. Don't quit. Don't give up. God promised Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarah, a son. Took 25 years till Isaac was born. Even in Numbers 13, that situation with the spies that I was going to preach about, you know, that message I was going to share with you tonight, two of the spies, and I believe they were the ones that were carrying the grapes, by the way. The Bible doesn't tell us which two, but I believe they were the ones came back carrying the grapes. Joshua and Caleb, they were said, yes, we're going to go. God said it. What are we waiting on? God declared it. Come on. What's wrong with all of you? And the other 10 said, nevertheless, which in our modern language is but. Can I tell you, we got to get our butts out of the way when it comes to seeing God's word fulfilled. But God. But I don't understand. But God, I don't see. But that'll never happen. They said nonetheless, but it meant the same thing. The 10 said, yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but nonetheless, there are giants. Caleb said, no, 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 let's go. Joshua said, no, 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 let's go. At the word of the Lord, let's go. It's ours for the taking. But the 10 stirred the rest of the people up so much so that God said, okay, fine. You won't see it. But God remained faithful to Joshua and Caleb because they dared to believe the birthing of the word that God had given them. And it took Caleb 45 years to get his mountain. But when they finally crossed over, Caleb came to Joshua and said, oh, by the way, Josh, remember? Remember? Well, guess what? It's been 45 years, but I am just as strong today as I was then. I am just as able today as I was 45 years. I've been waiting 45 years. I've been counting. You go look in my wall of my tent. You'll see every day marked off, every day. But guess what? Today is my day. Give me my mountain. And if you and I will determine that the word of the Lord that he spoke to us, that prophetic word that he released to us, that promise, that precious promise that he wants to birth through us, if we'll determine that we won't let anything, we won't let discouragement, we won't let other people, we won't let our own voice, we won't let the enemy, we won't let circumstances, we won't let timing, we won't let what seems to be delay keep us from carrying it full term, then one day, I'm here to tell you, you're going to get your mountain. You're going to get that promise that God gave you. It's going to be birthed in you. And when it's birthed in you, it's going to change the world around you. Because that's what Jesus did. When he was born, the night he was born, the sky lit up with angels singing and rejoicing. Shepherds were almost blinded by the light and heard what was said by the angels and went and saw the babe there in the manger. And at that moment, the world was changed forever. Don't tell me Jesus isn't significant. Look at our timeline, BC to AD. Don't tell me he's not significant. Don't tell me he's not important. Don't try to tell me that he's for old people that need a crutch. He's for weak-minded people who aren't enlightened. He's for people who haven't figured out the God potential in them. Don't tell me any of that. Jesus Christ left heaven. He set aside glory. He emptied himself of all that made him 100% God and became 100% God in 100% flesh and was born, came through the birth canal to walk this earth. And when he did, it changed the world. And the same thing is true with what God wants to do in you and I. He wants to change our world. Whatever our sphere of influence is, whether it's just, and I don't mean when I say just our home, because if it doesn't start in our home, it's never going to happen out in the mission field. Oh, Lord, you called me to Africa. Right, but how's your family? Amen. Lord, I really want to go to that foreign land and preach the gospel. Awesome. Have you told your next door neighbor that Jesus loves you, loves him or her? Have you given a cup of cold water in my name? Have you cared for the widows and the orphans in your city? I'm telling you, if we can get a hold of these truths, the Lord changed my message because somebody or somebodies needed to hear this tonight. Because I was excited about Numbers 13. I was going to talk about all the different giants that there were that we might face. I was going to talk about what the grapes represented. But the Lord changed my message to remind me of these five things, because I got one more for you here in just a second. Of these five things that he shared with me, that he revealed to me before 1998, because it was when we knew we were going to come to Alaska, we were just trying to get here. And he reminded me today of it. So that means somebody or somebodies needs to hear this. What are you supposed to do with that prophetic word that you received? Don't look around and go, well, the prophets aren't here. I wonder if it was really true. No, believe in your heart that God intended and did what he did because you are highly favored and he wants to birth something in you that will change the world. And if you got family members or friends that are going to be, you know, I really can't share that with them because, you know, I just know they're not really going to support me. Trust them to God. Trust God with your Joseph. And find your Elizabeth. Pray the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He'll tell you. The Holy Spirit will tell you who you need to go say, you know, this is the word. This is what God's. And you might not even have to tell them. You just might have to go, when you go meet with them, have a cup of coffee, even out in the lobby, or just shake hands. They might be like, oh, I feel that. God spoke something to you. God's planted something. He's birthing something in you, and I've walked that. Oh, come on, let's share it together. Let's walk this thing together. Let's encourage each other together because they'll help you carry it full term. Because there's going to be times. I would love to tell you, I told youth when I was their youth pastor. Minister Jan and I were youth pastors for the first nine years of our marriage, and she's correct. 15. She's correcting me because she does good at that because I forget. But I used to tell teenagers, I would love to be able to promise you that at the moment that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you offered your forgiveness to God and he accepted it. And there's power in that truth. You offered your forgiveness to God and he accepted, your repentance to God and he accepted your repentance. And applied his forgiveness to your life. I would love to tell you, I used to tell teenagers, and I'll tell you tonight, I'd love to tell you that at that moment, you got up from where you were kneeling or standing or laying or wherever you were, and all of a sudden you would hover 6 inches off the ground and be coated in Holy Ghost Teflon, and nothing would stick to you. No ill word would stick to you. No temptation, no fiery dart. I would love to tell you that would be how your life would be, but that's not how it works. At the moment that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, commit your life to him. Say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm in for the long haul. I'm in from now until to eternity. The moment that you do that, you are now hell is put on notice of your decision, and you are now, there's now a picture of you on a wanted poster in the post office of hell. So we got to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to stay all in? I'm here to tell you tonight and encourage you tonight, which is that point number 4, be committed to carry it full term. Carry that word full term till your faith becomes sight, till you see that promise unfolded in you and that birth come forth. And number 5 tonight, be willing to give that promise back to God. Be willing to give that promise back to God. Continuing in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now this was Jewish custom, but it is so symbolic and it's so true for you and I. That word of promise, that word of faith, that God wants to birth in you and I, it's his. But he chooses you and I to bring it to life in this world. But we can't hold on to it like it's ours. We can protect it. We can guard it. We can make sure that it's cared for. But ultimately, we've got to be willing to give it back to him. Even on those days when it's like, Lord, this is hard. Lord, I thought carrying the thing was hard. But now that this has come forth, this is hard. And he says, that's okay. Give it back to me. Give it back to me. And watch what I do. Because let's look a little further here at what Mary had to experience. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Verse 35, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, that might seem like a strange thing for someone to tell the mother of an eight-day-old child that's here in the temple. But what Simeon was being used by the Holy Spirit was to prophetically say, Mary, get ready, because you've been faithful. You were highly favored. You found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You said yes to what he said he wanted to do in you. Joseph walked with you. Elizabeth encouraged you. You've carried this promise, this precious word. You've carried it full term, and it's now here. But understand, if you don't keep it in right perspective, because of what you're going to face, because of that word that has been birthed through you, you're not going to be able to handle it if you don't realize it's his. It belongs to him. Mary, this was fulfilled, what Simeon said, when Mary was there at the crucifixion, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and his hands were pierced, and his side was pierced with the sword, and his feet were pierced with the nails, and his head was pierced with the crown of thorns. Her soul was pierced at that moment, because this precious promise, this precious child of promise, this precious word of God that had been birthed through her into the world to change the world and save the world, was now being rejected by man, being rejected by the very ones that he has spoken of that he would come and want to bring deliverance to. And she had to endure that. And that's the last point I'm bringing tonight. Listen, not everybody's going to receive what God has spoken in your life to you. Not everybody is going to receive your word and recognize how amazing and how wonderful it is when it gets birthed in your life and you step into that destiny that God created you for. Not everybody's going to say, oh, here, come. Here's your place to do that thing that God's birthed in you. Not everybody's going to say, here's a platform for you to be on, and it's going to pierce your soul when people begin to reject what you know is the precious promise and spoken word of God that he gave you, that you carried and you labored through to see it come to pass. And if you haven't given it and surrendered it back to the Lord, you might not be able to handle it. But if you realize it's his in the first place, In the natural. Minister Jan and I, for those of you that know, we have three children that were birthed into our household and three children that were birthed somewhere else but brought into our household. They're all our children. But you know what? They're on loan to us. They belong to God. Now, I can't tell you why, because I've made mistakes as a father. I can't tell you that it makes sense to me why God would say, I trust you enough and I trust Jan enough to bless you with these six amazing blessings that can be world changers, because the Bible says the children of the righteous will do mighty exploits upon the earth. And I have claimed that promise over my children, but I can't tell you that I know the full reason why God chose and said we were worthy, but I am honored that he did. Yes. But you know what? Not just because it's a nice, neat little thing to do when you have that precious baby. And in our case, when we had the 8, 7, and 5-year-old that we adopted and we dedicate them to the Lord, that's not just some nice little thing to get a picture and a little plaque and maybe a Bible. It's seriously saying, Lord, they are on loan to me from you. And I am committing to do the very best job I can with your help to teach them and train them and set them on a path that one day you will birth something amazing for the kingdom of God in them. Because if you think they're yours, if you think that you did that, you'll have a real hard time when people reject them. You'll have a real hard time when they reject you. But this word that God has spoken to each one of you over this prophetic conference, this word that God has taken the time to deliver to you, it is precious to him, but he trusts you with it. And just like all those years ago, when the Lord revealed this to me, I said, Lord, okay. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it in my own strength. And ultimately, Lord, I give it back to you. Help me, give me the strength to carry it full term. And Lord, I really do trust you that it's going to be amazing when it comes to pass. So I want to encourage you in that. What do you do with the prophetic word? You realize that it wasn't something that just happened. God intended it. He set everything in motion. He made sure you were right where you needed to be at that right moment, just like Mary was, to hear, you're highly favored. I want to do something in you. Will you receive that? And you said yes. And you've trusted, or you're going to trust, because maybe your Joseph isn't being so understanding right now. You can't worry about that. And you can't let that affect you. You got to trust God with your Joseph. And maybe some Josephs out there tonight, you need to get with the program. Get on board. And realize the amazing thing that God has spoken to that Mary. Find your Elizabeth. Be an Elizabeth for Mary. Carry it full term. And then at that, when it comes to pass and you're ready to step into that, when you're ready to step into that great thing, that great destiny, oh, this is it. This is that moment. I'm going to do what you promised, what you said. But Lord, it's yours. And I give it back to you. And if all I needed to do was just be faithful to carry it and to birth it, but I never get to see anything actually come to pass because I gave it back to you, then that was good enough. Because what a journey it's been. Amen? Would you stand with me tonight? Listen, don't be like the 10 spies in Numbers 13. I guess you got two messages tonight. Don't be like the 10 spies in Numbers 13 who doubted because of the giants. Be like Joshua and Caleb that said, no, the Lord said it. He's given us evidence of the fruit of his word that he promised us. Let's step in. But more importantly, let these five steps, these five things that the Holy Spirit ministered to me, that he emphatically told me today to share with you, let these five things help you. Carry that word. Protect that word. See that word birthed. And surrender it back to him and watch what he does. Because I can guarantee you, by Mary and Joseph offering Jesus back, God was able to do it a whole lot better with his plan than Mary and Joseph could have done it if they'd have tried to do it on their own. And the same thing's true for you and I. Before we're dismissed tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, sometimes we have you close your eyes and bow your head, sometimes we don't. You know, the Bible doesn't say you have to close your eyes and bow your head. It actually says lift up your head. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you've, I don't know, already that prophetic word is fading, I'm going to challenge you and encourage you. Hold on to it. Carry it. But maybe you're here tonight and you've never even thought about this. You weren't part of the prophetic conference. You're listening online now or at a later date, and you're like, I don't understand that fully, but I know it's right. The first step is to start by surrendering your life to Jesus. And we never want to close the service here without giving that opportunity. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that initial birth, the rebirth, the being born again, your old life being exchanged and you giving a brand new life through what Jesus did. If you've never experienced that, tonight we want to give you opportunity. Or maybe you experienced that but you've drifted away and you need to recommit your life to the Lord and you need to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to hear what you say and I'm going to see your word birthed in me. Or maybe you just want to be assured of your salvation tonight. If you fall into any one of those three categories, would you lift your hand tonight? I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, the angels in heaven are rejoicing, the word says. So come on, repeat this prayer, all of us. Those of you that raised your hand, if you repeat this prayer that I say and you mean it from your heart, God takes it serious. But let's all do it to just reaffirm our commitment to the Lord. Repeat this prayer with me tonight. Father God, thank you for loving me enough to send your son to die on the cross for my sins, so I can have forgiveness. I'm sorry, Lord, for those things that I've done, those sins I've committed that have separated me from you. But tonight, I surrender my life. I repent of my sins. I turn from them, and I ask you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. And I commit to live for you all the rest of my life and be with you in heaven forever. In your great name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you for being here. Again, those of you that joined us online, thank you for being with us. I trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, took something that I was said tonight and you got something from this that you'll carry with you. Let me pray for you as we're dismissed tonight. Father, thank you for your people. Lord, I pray over them tonight. Father, I pray that you would lift up your countenance towards them, God. You would cause your face to shine upon them, Lord. You would deal graciously with them and you would give them peace, Lord, as we leave this place. Walk with them. Guard them and protect them, Father, in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.